The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at the Black Information Network, we know how important it is for you to start your week off energized, engaged, and enlightened. There are always major stories that break over the weekend, and we feel you should know about the ones we are talking about today. So stay tuned for our weekend recap featuring BIN News anchor Amber Payton. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. All right, Amber Payton, welcome back. How have you been?
I've been good. How have you been?
I've been fantastic. I'm very excited to cover the news over the weekend with you. So let's not keep the people waiting. Let's get right to it. All right. This from the BIN. A Democratic lawmaker in Maryland says he misspoke when he used a racial slur during a House Budget Committee hearing. Maryland Representative David Trone, who is running for Senate, uttered the slur while discussing tax policy with Shalonda Young, the first Black woman to serve as the director of the Office of Budget and Management. All right, get ready. So I'm going to say it.
Are you going to actually say it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say it. Quote, so this Republican jigaboo that, you know, it's the tax rate that's stopping business investments. It's just completely faulty by people who've never run a business, unquote. Trone said per the Daily Beast. Trone issued an apology for his comment on Thursday, saying he, quote, misspoke in a statement to The Washington Post. Quote, today, while attempting to use the word bugaboo in a hearing, I misspoke and mistakenly used a phrase that is offensive. He goes on to say, upon learning the meaning of the word, I was deeply disappointed to have accidentally used it, and I apologize. He finishes by saying, it should never be used at any time, anywhere, in any conversation. I have recognized that as a white man, I have privilege. And as an elected official, I have a responsibility for the words I use, especially in the heat of the moment. Regardless of what I mean to say, I shouldn't have used that language. So, first off, let's get your take on this.
Bugaboo, jigaboo. I'm just trying to figure out how we misspoke, right? Mm-hmm. And then the word that you just so happen to use is an offensive term toward Black people.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Like, that word is in the vocabulary. Mm-hmm. That's not the first time that you've used that word before.
Yeah, I was thinking the same.
The other part that he, in his apology, he says he recognizes as a white man that he has privilege. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize that that's not a good thing? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be. That's not, when we say, you know, white privilege, we're not saying, that's not a compliment. But he, in his apology, used it as, I know that I have this strong suit and I should have better represented myself. That's mm-hmm. not a strong suit. You shouldn't have privilege as a white man or as a man or as a Black man. Or no, we should all just have privilege. You should, you know, whatever privilege that you deserve, that you've earned. So I think that I don't think it was a mistake. I think he just didn't think people would catch it. I don't think the apology was sincere because I didn't see any sincerity in it. I don't believe in coincidences. So I don't think calling her a jigaboo was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I think you meant it the first time.
Okay. Now, I'm really glad that you said this because I think those things needed to be said. I am going to mount a defense for this man.
Okay.
And it's going to sound like I'm disagreeing. But I think that this is the right way to cover this story, journalistically speaking. And okay. The reason I say that is because I have, and you know this, on this show, I have tiptoed around arguing for the benefit of the doubt for a lot of Black people, a lot of Black men who've come under fire for this reason or that reason or whatever. And I don't love the judge, jury, executioner style of condemnation that happens with the masses at large. You know what I mean? Oh, you did this thing, maybe, so you're canceled, right? That is a very dangerous approach to have because things are nuanced and they require, you know, whatever. And this person right here, this example, I think it illustrates the fact that there might be some nuance and some context that might be important. So again, while I'm inclined to agree with you, I'm just doing this to practice my getting my strength and get my chops so that I can mount these defenses dispassionately and have them be fact-based and, yeah. and present an alternative reality. So I want you to view what I'm saying through that lens. Okay.
Okay.
So first thing, jigaboo bugaboo. I looked this guy up. So he's a Democrat. And the woman, the Black woman who was the person responsible for the budget is a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is any dissatisfaction with the other person, it could be. And based on data that I've read in the past, we're more likely to have social divisions along political lines than even racial lines in this country, right? So it's not unlikely that he's upset with this woman simply because she's a Republican and has a different set of values and she's controlling the purse strings, right? So that's line one of the defense.
Okay.
Obviously, line two, bugaboo, jigaboo. They sound very similar, right? And then I looked up his age. He's 68 years old. I looked up where he grew up. He grew up in Pennsylvania, which isn't the South, but he did grow up on a farm. Okay. So, you know, rural America. So you're right. That's exactly what I was saying when I was agreeing with you. That's not the first time he's heard the word jigaboo.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time he's used the word jigaboo, probably. You know what I mean? But it's definitely not the first time he's heard it. You know, I would have to guess that he heard it at some point.
Yes. Okay?
But 68 years old. That means you've lived quite some time, may as well be 70 years old, which is, you know, 65 is the cutoff for people who we reckon senior citizens, I think, or 55, yeah. One of those ages. I'm not there yet, so couldn't tell you exactly. But the fact is that this man is a senior citizen. Okay?
Yes.
Has been for years. I know. I've heard people misspeak all the time, my whole life. I've heard people misspeak when the word they're trying to use is very different from the word that they end up saying. You know, my birth mother used to call me Emmett Ramses because my brother's name is Emmanuel. And she used to call him Rhett Emmanuel, right? So she would misspeak all the time, right? So human beings have the capacity to misspeak. The words sound very similar, and it might be easy to confuse the two, right? But the word bugaboo came out in 1999 with the Destiny's Child song.
Yes.
And in 1999, this guy was 43 years old, right? So I'm 41. I'll be 42 in August. So I'm right at that age. Now, I'm sure I'm a lot cooler than this guy was. I'm a DJ. I'm tapped into music. But Bugaboo was a big song. I remember that song, right?
Me too.
And the purpose of the song was to say, you know, you're bugging me. You're bugging me all the time. You're bothering me. You're whatever, right? So if he meant to say bug, yeah, it fits in the context to a person who is a little bit removed from the culture at age 43.
Okay.
And that person's understanding of it, right? And then while I was doing this research, I found out that this guy is the guy behind Total Wine and More, right? So the company, he started the company. He spent millions of dollars on campaigning on Democrat principles, which are in alignment with how Black people vote politically in this country, right? Yeah. So it's hard to imagine a judge, jury, executioner style of approach to this man when what he's pushing up against is conceivably a Republican agenda, not a Black woman, right? Final thing I'll say is that you might be right. He might very well be flaunting the idea of I have privilege, like it's a good thing, and I should use my privilege to save everybody, right? Like the white savior complex very well may be doing that. He also very well may not even know what white savior complex is. He might be the sort of person who is committed to learning from his mistakes, acknowledging them, and asking for forgiveness and trying to move forward. And if we are choosing to break down his explanation of what happened and find those tenets, I think that they might be here. Again, it should never be used at any time, anywhere, in any conversation. I recognize that as a white man, I have privilege. And as an elected official, I have a responsibility for the words I use, especially in the heat of the moment. That's accepting responsibility. Regardless of what I meant to say, I shouldn't have used that language. That's an acknowledgement of what I should not have done.
Yes.
He says he was disappointed. Now, back to what you said. I don't disagree, but how was my defense?
But, and so your defense is good. And you make a good point. So, you know, we do live in a world of cancel culture. Mm. If we keep canceling people, we're not going to have anybody. Mm. I mean, and I mean that in any world, whether it's, you know, with lawmakers, whether it's with artists in the music industry, we're going to have no music. We're going to have laws that we don't necessarily agree with because we have canceled the people who have made mistakes and misspoke.
Yeah, no, I get it.
That's a great point. Cancel culture is not a great thing in 2024, and it seems easy to cancel people now. Like that's the first resolution.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to understand them and doing your research, like you did.
Right, and see, so this thing happens with a lot of potential like allies and potential allies. And what happens is if we cancel our allies, you know, because they misspoke or something like that, their tendency to seek out a community is very strong. It's innate in all human beings. We want to belong to a community, right? So if they can't belong over here because we've canceled them, and it's not unreasonable to assume that eventually they'll end up finding a place to belong over there in the opposition. Yeah. And so not only do we lose allies, we fortify the opposition. And so the benefit of the doubt might be something worth considering, not just when it comes to allies, but when it comes to our own Black people, when it comes to canceling them out. So food for thought. Absolutely. All right, moving on. Speaking of the opposition, this comes from BET.com. Controversial talking head Candace Owens joined Charlamagne the God, DJ Envy, and Jess Hilarious on 105.1's The Breakfast Club. Their questions range from the political to the personal. And when they asked Owens about her marriage to a white man, she had a few interesting thoughts to share. Owens said, quote, "I think it's the greatest thing ever when people come together on the basis of who they love and get married. I never thought of my husband as a race. I married the person it made the most sense for me to marry," unquote. Owens talks about how brilliant her mind is, and she needed a partner who can handle that. Quote, "I have a mind that is just, if you even knew half the things I'm thinking about, the stuff I'm reading, just go, go, go all the time. It was difficult for me to find a partner that was a challenge to me, the challenge that I needed. Whether you want to say an academic challenge or whatever it is, with my same interests, it just was," unquote. She continued, quote, "People tend to marry their IQ. I fell in love with my husband just because I think he's one of the most brilliant people ever, unquote. Owen said there was no other person she could have married because her husband can effortlessly dive into any subject. Owen's determined, quote, I want every person to never allow race to be a barrier to you finding love. Unquote. Contrary to popular belief, she's dated black men before. She shared, quote, the media tries to portray me as somebody who only liked white guys. Actually, if you want to be honest, I started off with a really strong Asian kink in my life. I thought I was going to marry an Asian man. My first boyfriend was Japanese and my second was Korean. I just really loved Asian men. All right. So let's get both barrels from you and pull the trigger all the way back. Let's have
it. Here's the thing. And there's a lot about Candace that we don't always agree with, right?
Okay.
This is not one of them.
Mm.
Not for me.
Okay.
And I will say this, and I watched that whole interview. There is a lot about Candace that I do not agree with. However, and I think I've said this before, when it comes to who you love, I do not judge. If that man is respecting her, if he is loving her the way that she wants and needs to be loved, if she feels like he is someone that challenges her and makes her feel heard, and that's what she wants in a person, I don't care if this man is white, purple, green.
Sure.
Race doesn't really come in. That doesn't matter to me. I think that you just love who you love.
Sure.
That's it.
Now watch this. Now I am the person that went up against Candace Owens and Kanye West, right?
Candace?
Yeah, remember Candace Owens and Kanye West were wearing those White Lives Matter shirts.
You did.
Yeah, they were wearing those shirts and we got the trademark, and that way they couldn't sell those shirts, right? But I had a very critical view of her then, and I have a very critical view of her now. But I think there's something to be said about, you know, you're not wrong. You know, love who you love. Love the person that it makes the most sense to love, right? I'm not a believer in marriage for me personally. I never will be. Don't try to change my mind. But in terms of loving, don't try to change. I'm talking
to listeners. Know.
You can try all you want. I would enjoy that, actually. But, you know, anyway. Yes. So when it comes to what she said, though, about the IQ thing, it kind of has a whiff of this white man has the type of IQ that I cannot find among black men. And I don't know that that's what she meant, but the way it reads was kind of like, I have this brilliant mind and I need a person with a strong IQ. And this white man had that strong IQ and I hadn't found that before. And that part feels a little like, and I know I'm quoting and I'm indeed misquoting her, but I felt like that's what I took from it. And that part, again, even if she didn't mean it, that feels a little like, you might want to restate that part or provide some clarification there. But outside of that, you know, really, you know, no notes. I see how outside of that, this guy could make perfect sense for Candace Owens. As we mentioned, people typically politically will be around someone that they're in alignment with. You know, I agree with this person on a lot of things. And as a result, we have peace in our home. We're not arguing about whether or not Black Lives Matter was a good thing or a bad thing. Certainly not in my house. Nobody argues that. You know what I'm saying? otherwise, they're not in my house, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
So anyway, the thing is, I just don't think that beyond this, Candace Owens deserves really any praise. She's like kind of that broken clock thing, you know. It's like, you know, everybody
agreed.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed.
So, want to make sure that was
we don't. I can count on one hand how many times she has said something where I could say, okay, but it's not often.
Yeah.
And I told you the rest of this interview was a no for me.
Yeah.
It was a hard no for me.
And I feel like that's appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah, so. BIN news anchor Amber Payton is here with us discussing the weekend's major stories. All right, next up from the Atlanta Black Star, the white president of a historically black university in Missouri placed on leave amid claims of harassment will keep his job after an independent investigation found no evidence he bullied a black administrator who made the allegations against him before she committed suicide in January. Lincoln University President John Mosley returned to work March 15th after he had been on paid leave since January 12th following the death of Antoinette Bonnie Kendia Bailey, who had served under Mosley as the vice president of student affairs. Following the decision to reinstate Mosley, Victor Paisley, the president of the university's board of curators, expressed full support for him, but acknowledged the school's shortcomings in handling employee relations, especially when it comes to mental health. Quote, "For us, this report is not the end of a process, but rather the beginning of one," Paisley wrote, affirming the conclusions in the report. He goes on to say, quote, "None of its findings have led the board to doubt President Mosley's ability to lead the university, but this tragedy has forced us to grapple more fully with issues facing Lincoln and our individual students and employees, ranging from mental health support to employee work and relationships." The 49-year-old Kendia Bailey took her own life on January 8th, just days after she sent an email to the university's board of curators and others, accusing Mosley of intimidation and mental damage after she was on the job for less than a year. Previously, the deceased woman's mother, Veronica Kendia, and husband, Anthony Bailey, revealed that Mosley terminated her employment in the days leading up to her death. Kendia Bailey reportedly shared with friends and family that her professional relationship with Mosley had deteriorated and that she dreaded going to work. She also told family members that she felt she was being targeted because of her race, citing Mosley's complete lack of support. Following its closed-door meeting on January 12th, however, the board of curators placed Mosley on paid leave and hired an outside investigator to look in Kendia Bailey's claims and to review the school's handling of personnel issues. Quote, "Dr. Kendia Bailey's claims that she was bullied by President Mosley were unsubstantiated, specifically when directly asked in the course of this investigation. No witnesses reported that they had ever witnessed President Mosley engaged in bullying, and all denied ever having personally felt bullied by President Mosley," unquote, the board said in its statement, which was widely circulated on social media. I'm almost done. Investigators found that the university did not violate the Americans with Disabilities Act by not accommodating Kendia Bailey's mental health needs, noting that she was not eligible for medical leave because she had not been at the university for a full year. University did respond appropriately to her requests by allowing remote work and the use of accrued leave, according to the board's statements. The board's decision didn't sit well with some HBCU alumni. All right. So that was a lot, but I wanted to make sure we told as much of the story as we could. Obviously, there's a lot more there. And again, you can read that at the Atlanta Black Star. But I needed to say that just so that everyone has all the context necessary. So give us your thoughts on this. I know you're familiar with the story too.
I am, and I'm so disturbed and disappointed with the Board of Curators' response. One part particularly, they said that none of the findings led to the board doubting President Mosley's ability to lead the university. This Kendia Bailey, this Black woman, did not come up with this email of accusations, and like they weren't these feelings. They didn't come out of thin air.
And
I'm a little confused because in a part of the Board of Curators' response, they are really taking all responsibility off of the president, right? But they're also saying we have to do better at addressing and protecting mental health. So which one is it?
That's an interesting take, because they did talking out of both sides of their mouth now that you mentioned
it. So which one is it? Which one are you believing her? Or are you believing the people that are still here with us that can say, hey, no, I didn't, that wasn't my experience with him? I want to know who those people are, because she said all she could say, because now she's not here anymore. Her last words, she sent emails to her friends and her family. She sent emails to her coworkers. She told you all what she was experiencing. She told you what she was experiencing while she was still alive. So it's not like you didn't have an opportunity to address it. You just dismissed it. And well, now it's easy to dismiss it because she's not here anymore.
I don't have much else to add to that, because I think that you hit the nail on the head. But I will add something that I'm sure that you'll appreciate. It's a popular phrase these days. Listen to Black women. All right. Our last story of the day. This comes from the New York Post. A Detroit charter school teacher, once named Teacher of the Month, claimed she was fired because a parent complained over her rap career, later filming a music video with her students to announce her forced departure. Dominique Brown, who performs under the pseudonym Drippin' Honey, was a U.S. history teacher at Taylor Preparatory High School in Metro Detroit before she was fired earlier this month. She revealed on social media, quote, "Recently, I was forced to leave my position due to me being a rapper. A single parent's disapproval led to my dismissal." This is according to a post on Instagram. She also revealed that the parent's complaint was submitted anonymously in October after she released her song Drippin' 101, resulting in several months of meetings with school administrators. The first meeting, quote, "The first meeting was with my dean and my principal, and they were just telling me, hey, a parent said they've seen your social media and that you're a bad influence because you're a rapper." This is what she told to WJBK. She continued to meet with the officials amid the parents' complaints, and Brown had to choose between her day job or her rap career. Quote, "5 months later, meetings after meetings, defending my involvement in the music industry, I was asked to erase all my content. That's what I do. I have to bet on myself because nobody will if I don't." Brown and over a dozen of her students filmed a music video as she remained undeterred over the firing or the parents' complaints. She said she filmed the video on her last day in February, according to WDBJ7. Quote, "My outside life should not be grounds for termination when it does not interfere with my ability to fulfill my responsibilities as a teacher. My dedication, professionalism, and passion for education have always been unwavering, regardless of any personal pursuits I may have." She stated, unquote, she started work at the charter school last August and was named the school's Teacher of the Month in December, the outlet reported. Quote, "It's worth noting that when I was hired as a teacher, my involvement in the music industry and as a rapper did not hinder my candidacy. I was judged based on my qualifications, experience, and potential to positively impact the lives of my students." Unquote. She also claimed that if she were a bad teacher, that the school would have fired her immediately, stating that the administrators weren't transparent enough throughout the ordeal. So I kind of like this story, and I checked out her music videos, but
that's the same.
Yeah. So give us your thoughts. It's about you.
So I'll tell you my initial thought and then my thought after the music video.
Okay. Yeah.
My initial thought was, and I'm not a parent, so I my thought can only go but so far. Right. Mm-hmm. But I have friends that are parents who want the teachers to be more engaged with the students. That's how you're going to build a rapport with these students, because their attention span is not always there, right? You cannot stand at the front of a classroom for an hour and read verbatim out of a textbook. They're not going to listen to you. Sometimes you have to get creative.
Okay.
And sometimes the way to get creative, yes, it is through music. That's how that's what they relate to. But then I went to go look at the video, and audio off, my first thought was, oh, she's fully clothed and she's covered. And I love that because she's around kids. And then I listened to the words and couldn't be my kid's teacher. That's it. It was, I can't, because they get enough of that as it is. I think now, I don't necessarily know that she needed to remove her platform, who she identifies as outside of a teacher. I don't think she should have had to remove that from social media. I just don't think that her outside life had a place in the classroom with her students.
Okay. I'd go with that. Yeah. She shouldn't have involved her students. Okay.
Maybe it feels a little more cleaner.
Yeah.
I would have been.
Here's what I'll add to this before we're done. I understand and respect that there is a certain archetype. There's a platonic ideal. There is a framework. There is an example of a teacher that we all have in our mind. Mm-hmm. You know, a teacher is someone who has morals, is composed, is mild-mannered, and they live for the benefit of children. And anything that they do that exists outside of the scope of that is shocking. We all clutch our pearls that these are actual human beings, right? I remember seeing a movie. It might have been this was a 90s movie, if I had to guess, but it was a football movie. So Friday Night Lights or some, whatever. I don't know the name of the movie. It's a sports movie. I'm not a sports guy, but it was a movie. And it had the guy from Dawson's Creek, for folks not old enough to remember that TV show. He was in the movie and he was playing football. And I know it wasn't Any Given Sunday. So don't, if you're looking, don't look up that one, because Any Given Sunday was a black movie.
How did you
movie.
Know this I was looking?
Anyway, so in the movie, the teacher from the classroom was an exotic dancer, right? And that's how she supplemented her income, you know, because teacher salaries, they don't, you know, whatever. But had they not discovered that, she's fine, right? Okay. So fast forward all these years later, we have conversations about teachers who supplement their income using OnlyFans. And then they lose their teaching job because we want our teachers to look a certain way, right? And I think that's a very American, very Western idea. Mm-hmm. And that's not the worst thing in the world to want that for your teachers, of your students. But I think we also ignore the reality that teaching by itself, it basically condemns
absolutely
mostly women to lives that are very narrow, fiscally. Yeah. And, you know, it's a life, unless you plan to live and die as a teacher, it's devoid of really a lot of mobility. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't really do too much else with your life because of these constraints. That's just where we are right now. So I'd like to leave it right there. Thank you, as always, for your insight. You're brilliant. And this is always super entertaining. I love having these conversations with you. Once again, today's guest is BIN News anchor Amber Payton. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I'm your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.